This is Harry Murray at Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is our middle of the month question answer podcast of questions you've thrown at me over the last couple months on various fishing techniques and that type thing. Let's see, which one? Oh, the light pattern of a dry fly. Well, now, the light pattern of a dry fly floating on the surface, as the fish sees it, it's that little meniscus-type indentation that the fly creates on the surface of the stream. That is very important because often that is what really triggers the trout to run over to take a fly. See, they don't really see the whole fly from a distance away because when they look at it from an angle away underwater, they're actually seeing a mirror. But they get that light pattern, and that's why I think something like the Murray's house fly is so effective on heavily fished stream because it creates an entirely different light pattern than you'd get on, say, an Adams or a Royal Wolf or even a Beetle. So the light pattern, I think, on dry flies is very important. All right, fly design. Okay, at this time of the year, that's a good one. Let's say you were fishing for trout last year on your favorite stream close to home, and you had some fish coming up. You tried all the established patterns of what was hatching at that time of the year, what your friends were doing well with, and you just didn't really seem to produce the way you thought you should. That's where you can go back to the drawing board. Think about your needs. Think about if you want to tie a better fly than you were fishing with. Maybe to match a hatch, maybe to go in there on a terrestrial. Think of the materials that you know well. Think of the need for the fly. Then I like to look back and think about what the master tires have done in years past. Ed Shank, Charlie Waterman, Charlie Brooks, all those great tires from yesteryear. Look back and see what they did and kind of reflect on that and then come up with a fly to meet that particular need on the stream. Now, what Marinero did, I always thought was very clever. Vince would work up, say, three or four different flies, take them out to the stream, and then he had what he called a game of nods. He'd take the flies that were producing the most strikes and kind of mix and blend those components together to come up with one that really did better than anything else. So I think that's a real sensible approach, and then you can design your own flies and try them on the stream. Okay, do I use roadkills? You bet your life. I used to teach a college class close to about a half-hour drive from here. When I'd go up to get on 81, if there were no dead animals along the road, and when I came back from teaching my college class 2 or 3 hours later, here's a dead roadkill. Well, you know, I know he's fresh. I don't want something that's been lying out there on the side of the road for a week. But a fresh roadkill, just take them home, skin them out. I used to tack them to the garage door and salt them down, put some borax into fur, and you've got some great fly tying fur. So, yes, I do use roadkills. Okay, bounce retrieve on streamers. Yeah, that's worth knowing. Somebody said he liked to fish streamers on some of these smaller streams, but he knew he couldn't fish downstream because if he did it, he'd spook the fish. Well, the retrieve I use there is what I call a bounce retrieve. Now, this is using a small streamer such as, say, a Pearl Marauder in about a size 10, or the one when I did that DVD on the park and all that video on the park, I used the Ollie Strength in about a size 10. All right, the bounce retrieve on a streamer. In small streams, you're fishing upstream, you're casting probably up toward the head of the pool, let it sink down deeply, and as that drifts back down the stream, you lift the rod very slowly to get that sort of jigging retrieve. Now, this is a whole lot easier than fishing nymphs because with a bounce retrieve, you're tight to it and you can feel that strike right away. So it's sort of casting up into the head of the pool and just jig it back down. Now, you don't want to go wild on that or you pull it up so high they won't see it. But that bounce retrieve upstream is just very effective. Let's see. Somebody says, well, why do I use three different what we might call poppers? Now, I know we're not in popper season right now, but I wish we didn't have the word popper because everybody gets confused on it. I separate my hardhead surface bugs into three categories, and that's what we sell. That's what I've had my fly tires develop for me. To me, the real loud, get-their-action, deep-water-type hardhead surface bug, I call that a chugger. That's a fat body, cup face, and when I throw that against a gank, say on the James, we do this a whole lot, and some of that deep water along the bank, water 5 feet deep, you shove that chugger back against there and rip it with your line hand, you can throw water every which way, and you'll bring some fish up out of some of those deep runs. That in the deep water and also below a riffle. The chugger is a great fly to use below the riffle. So that's my second surface bug. My third surface bug is the other end of that spectrum, which I call a slider. Now, this is a long, slender body, pointed nose fly. Now, we use these in a lot of water on the North and South Fork when you're floating or wading, and I do them in my schools. This is really very effective. When you're wading down 30 or 40 feet out off the bank, the water against the bank is well shaded, so that's the first plus of a bass being in there. However, it's only about 2 to 3 feet deep. So if you throw a bug back there that's making a whole lot of racket, you're going to scare the fins off that guy. So what I do is go with these pointed nose sliders, the Shenandoah slider, for instance, and just give a very gentle teasing type action. So we've gone from the real loud action of the chugger to the gentle action of the slider. Now, halfway in between of that is where I throw my popper, the Shenandoah blue popper that I developed, for instance. That is a long, tapered body, kind of a upsloping cut face, not deeply in cut like a chugger. So it'll give you an action that is between the two. You can't create as much racket with it as you can with a chugger, but you can almost be as delicate with that as you can with a slider. So those are the three bug actions I want, and then therefore I use a slider, a chugger, and a popper to create that. So now let me look, what was your next thing? Oh, the smallmouth skaters. Oh my goodness, this one is really right down my alley. I came up with the smallmouth skaters because when the damselflies and dragonflies get on the water, in the middle of the summer, we'll say, you're standing in a pool in the middle of the river and you see some bass jumping for something. Well, the only thing is up there are dragonflies and damselflies. By the middle of the summer, the hatches are over. So when you see that guy airborne, 100 feet up the river, 200 feet down the river, he's coming to try to grab those adult dragonflies or damselflies in the air. Now, when I'm close enough to actually see them, I've got a little game with myself. As soon as I see that bass airborne, I look around quickly and see if that damselfly flew away. I've kind of told myself that they probably catch one out of three if that damselfly is within a foot of the surface. Bam, see, they're buzzing along on top of that surface. Well, that's when I go to the Mr. Rapidan skater, where I have seen these bass jumping, and sometimes the bass will stay on a feeding station, and they're pretty close to the same spot for quite a while. I wade downstream with my Shenandoah skater now. I dress the leader, dress the skater, cast down and across stream at about a 45-degree angle, get the rod tip up at about a 45-degree angle, tight on the line with my left hand, line hand, and then I skate, trying to make my dry fly mimic that flying action of the damselflies and dragonflies. And this is very exciting fishing, and it's easy to master. I have beginning students in my bass school that have read something I've written about this, that get on it and just have fantastic fishing. So that's worth thinking about. Of course, we're talking about a couple months away till this action occurs, but don't overlook that skater deal on the smallmouth bass. Okay, do I carry, even on small trips, do I carry more than one fly box? Well, let's say I'm going to fish some streams here close to home, be they bass or trout. I'll have one box that'll carry the majority of the flies I'm going to use, whether they're dries, nymphs, streamers, what. I can put all that in my small fly box in my pouch or in my vest. However, I carry a very small backup box that'll have some of those if, for instance, I would lose that box. I did lose a box of flies one time out on Spring Creek in Montana. Had all my best flies in it and my name on it, and nobody ever did return it. So it's possible to lose your main fly box. So to compensate for that, I put an extra box, I mean, maybe only a half a dozen or so flies in there. But that's a whole lot better than having to come home. So I'm answering some of the questions you've thrown at me here in the last month or two. If you have any questions on any of this, just send us an email on it or call me about it, and I'll be glad to discuss any topic you have. You can reach me at Murray's Fly Shop, which is 540-984-4212. Thank you very much.